Well, I am Casey Hoffman, and me and along with my other team leader, Chad Helmer, lead the ministry here at Crew at OU. So it's really great to have you all here tonight. Great to be here. And you guys all get gold stars. Now, that doesn't mean anything, but you are here, and it is freezing outside. Does anybody else feel like you cannot get warm? Like, I don't know what, I'm like in bed and I keep adding layers and adding. Now, are there any people in this room that's walking around in shorts and a t-shirt?
Yes, ma'am.
I love it. Well, kudos to you guys. Oh, I see someone pointing back there. So I just feel like I cannot get warm. My nose, my fingers, my toes are always cold. So anyway, it's so good to have you guys here tonight. And I'm actually really excited about what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm always excited when I get up here and usually pretty passionate about the topic that I'm talking about. Oh, you guys, I forgot to set my timer because I don't want to. Okay, there we go. I say that because we might be here all night. I don't know. But we're going to talk about the abundant life. And I think that this does not get enough attention for the Christian life at all. Is information that if you are a believer in Jesus and have received him into your life, this is one of the most important things you need to know and to live by. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that when I was growing up, I had a grandma. She was a German woman, thick accent, and she came to know Jesus when she was 50. She was very passionate about it, you know, like some like telemarketer would call her on the phone and she's like, "Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?" You know, like just love talking about the gospel, love talking about Jesus. And she used to come up to me and be like, "You know, as a believer, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you." And I'm like, "What are you talking about, woman? That is the weirdest thing." Like, I just envisioned this like little ghost thing, like walking around on my ribs and like dancing. You know, I'm like, what does that even mean? But it's actually a lot more exciting than that and a lot more applicable than what I had once thought. So come join me tonight, and there's going to be a lot of information. I'm going to like zoom through this so I don't talk all night, but the most important fact is not just that you're gathering information and gathering knowledge, but that you're actually putting it into practice. So this is not just about, how much information I know, but this is about actually putting it into practice, thinking about it after you leave this room tonight, okay? So just hoping that if anything, you walk away with the applications seared in your brain as we talk about the abundant life. So I'm going to actually skip through that to save us time, and we're just going to jump right in it. So I'm using the Satisfied booklet. Some of you might know what this is. It is actually a Crew tool talking about the Holy Spirit. And if you've been on a summer mission, you've probably seen this. If you're in discipleship, you've probably seen this and used it. But it is not old. Please pay attention, because it's actually really good things. Even preparing this talk, I was like getting really excited about the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is so good. This is so good. But I have a question for you guys. Do you desire more? Do you desire more in your life? Do you desire more in your walk with the Lord? Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." What does this mean? Do you ever read scripture and you're like, okay, am I supposed to actually take this literally, or is this? So this is one of those things you don't take literally. You're not like supposed to carry around more water or like think through like, okay, I have a river running through me. There's actually something way more important here. John, the biblical author, went on to explain, "By this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." See, Jesus promised that God's Holy Spirit would satisfy the thirst, our deepest longings. Every person in this room has a deep longing for something. However, many Christians do not understand the Holy Spirit or how to experience him in their daily lives. And my guess is if I would sit down with each of you, you would probably say yes. I don't know about the Holy Spirit. Or, oh my gosh, I forgot about the Holy Spirit. And so we're actually going to talk about some principles on how we can understand and enjoy God's Spirit in our life. But first, This kind of idea of being thirsty, being parched, having a deep longing to be satisfied. It's almost like thinking through, like, I don't know if you have ever had a really hard workout or you've seen somebody else have a really hard workout where they're red-cheeked, huffing, can barely get their breath. That's really annoying. And sweating, like your legs feel like jello, your arms feel tired and weak, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can keep going. I think I just need some water. I just need some water. And so you like reach for some water and you drink it, and instantly it's like your parchedness is satisfied. You feel more relaxed. You feel calm. You feel like what you needed, you got. And so that's what Jesus is talking about, is this idea of like this deep satisfaction that comes from his Spirit. So, so we're going to talk about this divine gift that he gives us. And God has given us his Spirit so that we can experience intimacy with him and enjoy all that he has for us. The Holy Spirit is our source of our deepest satisfaction. The Holy Spirit is God's permanent witness or permanent presence with us. Jesus said in John, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And so Jesus is talking about the Spirit of Truth and this counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, and he will be with us forever. So if you've ever said, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. I need you to forgive my sins, and I want you to create in me the person that you've created me to be. If you have said that and made that decision to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand and experience all God has given us. So Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And so only if you have the Spirit of God within you can you understand the things of God. Only can you actually open his word, and even though some things are confusing, right? But you can start, if you sit there and meditate and sit there long enough, you begin to see God. You begin to know him. And as you pray, you begin to know him. We need the Spirit to help us understand and experience all that God has given us. A few things to note. God, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a he. He is a third person of the Trinity, which is a way bigger discussion. But something to keep in mind as we talk through. He is a person. The third person of the Trinity. And so some of the things that he enables us to experience are a genuine spiritual life, assurance that we are a child of God. He helps us to understand and know the great love of God. These are things we would not be able to understand apart from his Holy Spirit guiding us. And so here's a diagram. And so this was a little bit of my life. I'm just going to use me as an example. So on the right side, you see a circle with self on the throne. That little chair is a throne. And then you have a cross on the outside of the circle. And so this was my life before Christ. Christ wasn't in my life. I was on the throne. I made decisions, what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do. But I remember something really significant in high school. There was a group of students who were really involved in their youth group. And I remember that it was like I heard things about them that were like, yeah, they threw a bunch of CDs away. Well, at my time, CDs, okay. Because, you know, they didn't want to listen to that kind of stuff. And I was like, that is so weird. Why would they do that? That is crazy. I didn't understand the spiritual realities that they were living in and why they were making some of the choices. Our lives looked very different from what we did on the weekends to the friends that we had to the things and how we talked about life were just very different. And so I knew there was something that was different between us. And so the things of God just felt like foolishness to me. That's what Scripture talks about. If you don't have Jesus in your life, it's just really hard to understand the things of God. And then on the right, when I was in college, so this is a fun story that if you guys ever want to know, you can come and ask me or Jason later. But Jason and I were friends, my husband, when we were in college. And he was walking with the Lord, and he talked about Jesus a lot, and I'm like, okay, you're kind of weird, but I really like hanging out with you. And so I just remember we sat down one day, and I was like, okay, I don't understand this Christianity thing. I've been going to church my whole life, and I don't get it. And I remember him clearly explaining the gospel, how Jesus died for my sins and how I can be forgiven and how I can have Jesus come into my life. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want. Why wouldn't I? And so by faith, because I believed those things were true about Jesus and what he did for me, that he died and he rose again, died for my sins and rose again. By faith, I believed those things. And I became a believer. Jesus came on the throne of my life. And I, as the S, like off of the, like next to it, was yielding to what Jesus wanted for me. And I wanted to see Jesus' influence and direction in my life. I wanted to see where he would take me and the things that he would do. And so I began to have, scripture talks about as believers, we begin to have the mind of Christ, and that we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we want to think thoughts that please the Spirit. And that was really true in my life, even though I was, you know, trying to figure it out, and my life was not perfect by any means. But I began, the Spirit came in within me and dwelt. So I have a question. Why are many Christians not satisfied in their experience with God? Why might you not be satisfied in your experience with God? And this kind of leads us to a present danger. We cannot experience intimacy with God and enjoy all that he has for us if we fail to depend on his Spirit. People who trust in their own efforts and strength to live the Christian life will experience failure and frustration, as will those who live to please themselves rather than God. So we cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. And the Apostle Paul writes Galatians, and he says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" So let me explain. This needs a little bit of explanation. He's not like throwing around like, "You're dumb and you're stupid." Like, that's not, he's just saying like, please wake up. Please see what you're doing, Galatians. So this was a church who came to know Jesus, were really excited, had the Spirit within them. And then he's like, why are you trying to attain your goal by human effort? Why are you trying to do it on your own? And this goal that he's talking about is not heaven. If you have received Jesus, he's in your life, you already have heaven. You're sealed with the Spirit, right? So he's not talking about, this goal is not just to get to heaven. He's talking about sanctification. This is a really big word in the Christian world. And it's this idea of becoming more like Jesus. And so like Carson was talking about earlier, it's this idea of not just going through the motions, but it's actually having your heart changed by God. And he's like, why are you just wanting to live by a list of rules and do's and don'ts? That's not the point of Christianity. It's about a heart change for God, allowing God to change your heart. And he's like, please wake up, Galatians. Also, we cannot enjoy all God desires for us if we live by our self-centered desires. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." The conflict is real, friends. Whether you've been walking with Jesus for a while, whether you just started, or maybe you're in this room just seeking out what Christianity is, you might be like, well, why do I want to give myself up, believe in this Jesus guy if it's hard in this conflict? Because there is hope, and you have a God of the universe who loves you more than you can ever imagine and who is with you till the very end. That's why. But we still experience this conflict, and you experience it probably every day. And sometimes you may realize it, and sometimes you may not. So you're in class, and you have a really hard test coming up. It's a really hard class, and you really need to do well in it. You know that there will be significant implications if you fail this test. And so you're like, well, I'm a believer. Okay, I probably should study really, really hard. I don't have time. I don't know what to do. Oh, maybe there's a way. You don't call it cheating. You might say, well, maybe there's a way I could kind of use my phone or maybe sit next to the smart person. Or I don't even know how you guys take tests these days, but, you know, I'm sure there's always a way around it, right? And you begin to think, wait a second, conflict. Your your own nature, yourself, like, oh, that would be really easy. I know I could get an A and it'd be fine. No one would have to know, right? Sinful nature in competition, or not even in just conflict with your spiritual life, where you have the Spirit saying, no, 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 take the time. It's worth it. It's worth it. And you have your sinful nature like, ah, but it's so easy. You know, I just need to say that desire, that satisfaction is starting to come in. How am I going to, what am I going to do? You know, or maybe your friend comes and approaches you and is like, I heard you say this about me to somebody else. And you're like, ooh, no, I didn't say that. What are you talking about? It's so easy to lie, right? It's not a big deal. But you have your sinful nature and your spiritual nature in conflict. You all experience this. So that is the present danger that we have. Okay, and so there's actually three kinds of lifestyles, right? So now you have before Christ is not in your life, and then by faith, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and so you have him on the throne, but wait a second, there's another circle. There's one with self on the throne. And Christ, you've booted off Christ. And you're like, I am going to do my own thing. How do you get from this with Christ on the center to self? You sin. And I'm going to add unbelief. I think sin and unbelief over time will get you to a spot of a self-directed life where you're back again, cutting out Jesus, making decisions for yourself and what you want. Yet I want to encourage you guys, God never gives up on you. So if you've been seeking God for a while and you're like, I've been trying to seek you and know you and don't feel you, he's still there. He's still seeking you. If you've been a Christian for a while and you're like, man, my walk with the Lord is so hard and dry. I'm so frustrated and burned out. God is still seeking after you. He's still there waiting for you to come back to him. So it's never too late. Brothers, this is from 1 Corinthians. Paul says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worldly. Are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? So I think this gives us an indication that just because you've received Jesus and just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean that you're at a spot that you can hear more mature things, that you can make those changes. I mean, Paul's talking to brothers in the church, and so these are people who have been following him or at least claim to be Christian, who have made decisions to follow Jesus. But he's still calling them worldly and not spiritual. So it's almost as if you would take the circle on your left with self on the throne and Christ yielding to self on the throne with Christ outside. These are going to be lives that look very similar. So it's almost like just me looking at those high school group of youth group, and saying, like, my life does not look like theirs. Why? So how can we develop a lifestyle of depending on the Spirit? Great question. Satisfied booklet. And that's what I love. I love about the gospel is there is always hope. Always hope. Okay. And we're going to talk about the intimate journey now. Okay. So by walking in the Spirit, we increasingly experience intimacy with God and enjoy all he has for us. Walking in the Spirit, moment by moment, is a lifestyle. It is learning to depend upon the Holy Spirit for his abundant resources as a way of life. This should actually encourage us. So there is some hard work as in a moment by moment. Like, it's not Like, okay, Holy Spirit, take over. Okay, I'm done thinking about it. Now he's just taking over and doing his own thing, because thankfully God gives us self-will. He gives us options to make choices. God is not he is not a father who's like, do this or else, or you have to do this. You get to choose what you do with your spiritual walk and with your life. I find this encouraging, because I'm definitely not perfect, and I still mess up, and I still have to own my brokenness and sin. And it's learning. It's learning to walk in the power of the Spirit. So you're not going to have it figured out by the time you graduated, but you'll have grown, and you'll have understood more as you put it into practice and make it a lifestyle. And so as we walk in the Spirit, we have the ability to live a life pleasing to God. Guys, read Galatians. It's a great book. Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. So this idea, I was reading Tozer, one of my favorite authors, and about how to be filled with the Spirit. And I loved his analogy here. He talks about keeping in step with the Spirit, like going for a walk with the Spirit. Okay, so... And he's like, you know, like, it's almost like a unified thing where you're like walking and you're talking and you're agreeing. Yet when we talk about this conflict that we can have in our lives with the our sinful desires and our spiritual desires, we can often go our own way. So like in the example of the cheating example, it could be like, you know, you're hanging out with the Spirit, keeping in step, and then the Spirit's like, I'm going this way, let's study hard. And you're like, nope, I'm going this way. I'm going to take this path. You're no longer in unity and in step with the Spirit anymore. And so Scripture is talking like, let us live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's like link our hips together almost and walk together. As we walk in the Spirit, we experience intimacy with God and all he has for us. Intimacy with the God of the universe. A God who loves you more than you can ever think or imagine. A God who cares for you so much that he sent his own son for you. We can have intimacy with that kind of God. Galatians also just talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't want all of these things? Who wouldn't want to experience this? These are the fruit as we walk to keep in step with the Spirit, what we will experience. Okay. Going back to the three kinds of lifestyles, we, as believers, can live with hope, right? So he's not going to leave us with self on the throne. There's always a way to go back, right? And so it's by faith. By faith, we give our lives to Jesus one time. And by faith, we can continue to put Jesus back on the throne of our life. I love to define Christianese words because there are so many times grace, mercy, faith, all these things just get thrown around. I'm like, what does that actually mean to walk by faith? What does that actually mean to live by faith? Faith is trusting in God and his promises is the only way that Christians can live by the Spirit. Okay, so trust in God and his promises. Do you know any of God's promises to you? I would encourage you to check them out. He loves you more than you can think or imagine. He is always with you and never will leave you nor forsake you. He takes your sin and throws it as far as the east is from the west. His thoughts for you are more than the sands, than the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea. So many promises about you that, and it's based on God's character. And so by faith, and I think that going back to having Jesus on the throne of your life, it's tied in to this repentance of sin and unbelief and also yielding. Pretty much everything Carson said. I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, you just kind of like, yeah, shared my whole message in 5 minutes or maybe more. But it was good. Okay, this is where application hits. You guys, I'm doing so good on time. Okay, I thought this was going to be a lot longer. Okay, so now we're getting into the application. There's two application points. please, please take pictures, tuck them in the back pocket of your, write it out and put it in your Bible, whatever you need to do to remember. Please do not leave this room without this information. Okay. Okay, spiritual breathing. I heard you say it, Matthew. It is so easy and something you can just take with you, whether you're walking to class, whether you're sitting and eating lunch by yourself, whether you're in a really stressful situation and you don't know how to respond. Pull this out. It's just a word picture that can help you experience a moment-by-moment dependence upon God. And so just as we breathe in air to keep us alive and exhale the bad stuff, it's like that with our spiritual walk. So we're going to exhale. You're going to exhale, confess your sin the moment you become aware of it, your sin and unbelief. Agree with God concerning it and thank him that you are forgiven. If you are in Christ, you are forgiven. You don't have to like grovel at his feet and beg him for forgiveness. You just have to claim it. He's forgiven you. And just reminding that confession also requires this idea of repentance. So it actually means like you're going one way, even saying like you're walking with the Spirit and you're like, I'm going to take a detour and go this way and go my own way. Repentance is then going back to the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's turning away. It's a change of attitude and action. This is exhale. I remember, because I have time, I'm going to keep talking. I remember the unbelief that I think I experienced the most that kind of comes to mind. There's been many, but when Jason's mom died. She died of cancer. She was a huge influence in my life. I loved her a whole bunch. And, you know, like when you just, like, you like pray for healing, you're like, yes, God's got this. He's going to heal her. And I'm going to be able to like talk about, you know, how good God is. She didn't get better. She actually died. And I remember being so angry because I was like, what did I do wrong? Did I not pray enough? Did I not have faith? Why did this happen? So angry. And I just remember there was this click of moment where I was like, okay, you know, God can handle my anger, but I'm also not believing that he's good. And that situation wasn't good. I'm not saying that. But God is still good in the worst of situations. And so I just remember being able to be like, you know, he's not withholding good from me. He's not punishing me. It's just what happened. And so I just remember like exhaling, like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I've not seen you as good. Help me to see you as good. Change my attitude. I need your help. So now we get to inhale, and we get to surrender control of your life to Christ and rely upon the Holy Spirit to fill you with his presence and power by faith. This faith, right? Again, believing God and his promises for you. And so in Ephesians 5:18, God says, God says, be filled with the Spirit. He commands us, be filled with the Spirit. And you're like, all right, sure. And the promise that comes with that is that anything you pray according to his will, he will give you. And he's already commanded. It's his will that you be filled with the Spirit. So if we pray to be filled, he will fill you. So how does the Spirit fill us with his power? Okay. By his empowering presence. This will be quick, guys. Okay, we're filled with the Spirit by faith, enabling us to experience intimacy with God and enjoying all that he has for us. The essence of the Christian life is what God does in and through us, not what we do for God. Christ's life is reproduced in the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be directed and empowered by him. By faith, we experience God's power through the Holy Spirit. And by faith, we can claim the fullness of the Spirit according to his command and promise. And I think three things I want to ask you guys right now. Sit quietly and think through them. We're almost done, I promise. Am I ready to surrender control of my life to our Lord Jesus? Am I ready now to confess my sins? And do I sincerely desire to be directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit? And if you said yes to any of those things and you feel like you're like, I haven't been walking in the Spirit, I have not been walking with Jesus on the throne of my life, you can actually do that tonight. And so there's no pressure. You can do it. We're going to pray. I'm going to close in prayer, and you can pray along with me. And if you want to do that, great. If not, that's okay. I just ask that. I think if you do make that decision or if you do say that prayer, tell someone. Tell your Bible study leader. Tell a good friend. Tell a staff person. I think one thing I want to decipher or like distinguish is that this isn't a prayer of salvation. Like this is not, if you have not given your life to Jesus, this is not a prayer to do that. Now, if you want to do that, come down and talk to me. I would love to tell you how to do this. This is something different. This is for people who have already made that decision, but the Spirit is not filling you, okay? Like you know you've been living according to your own desires and choices. And so this prayer is to be able to once again pray and ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Okay? I just wanted to share that. So guys, that is it. If you have any questions, you guys, I'm over my time. Okay. If you have any questions, you want to talk to me, come down and talk to me afterwards. I'm here. I'd love to meet you. I know there's a lot of faces I don't know in this room, so would love to meet you. And so I will pray. I will pray this prayer, and then I will just close also like my own personal prayer after that, and we'll be done. So thanks for sitting through this, guys. Okay. All right. Dear Father, I need you. I acknowledge that I have sinned against you by directing my own life, and I thank you that you have forgiven my sins through Christ's death on the cross for me. I now invite Christ to again take his place on the throne of my life and fill me with the Holy Spirit as you commanded me to be filled and as you promised in your word that you would do if I asked in faith. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. And I now thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit and directing my life. God, thank you that you never give up on us, that you are always there, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And these are promises that we can hold true and that we can cling to with all that we have. And I pray for these men and women in this room who desire more of you, that they would be willing to take that step of faith in whatever you're calling them to do, that you would give them the strength and the courage by the power of your Spirit. And there are people here who don't know you, God. Just like Carson said, like I pray that they wouldn't wait, but that they would come to you in humility and repentance. So we serve such a sweet and faithful God, and thank you for all the ways that you show us to be true and good to us. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.